This is a download from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
It's time for English Makeover from BBC World Service. In this series, learners of English from around the world tell us their language problems. And there's advice for them and you from experienced teacher of English, Karen Adams.
Hi, I'm Karen Adams and I'm an English language teacher and teacher trainer. The English Makeover learners will be telling me about their problems and, well, I'll see what I can do to help.
In today's English Makeover, Karen will be helping a journalist and radio producer from the Tamil section at the BBC World Service.
I'm Ethirajan Anbarasan. I come from southern part of India, from the city of Chennai, which is the capital of the state of Tamil Nadu. I work for the Tamil section and I'm a producer. Basically, I have a journalistic background. Every day we deal with news stories and news dispatches. For example, we have to translate them into regional language, that is Tamil language. Apart from that, we do interviews in English. And in addition to that, we write news copies and sometimes dispatches concerning our target area.
At the moment, Anbarasan broadcasts in the Tamil language. As far as using English is concerned, he does translations from English to Tamil, conducts interviews, and sometimes prepares news stories about his region for other programmes. But soon things are going to change. He's off to work for a programme that's broadcast in English.
Coming up in the next 60 minutes, the United Nations Security Council...
The BBC World Service programme NewsHour, which Anbarasan is going to work on for a while.
For 6 months, I'll be working with NewsHour programme with the World Service. I'll be one of the producers working on the programme. I think my nature of job includes like writing briefs about various interviews and giving a background about any major news development throughout the world, or taking part in the morning meetings and explain what could be the news agenda for the day. And sometime I may be asked to work in the newsroom where I would be asked to edit or write news stories. I'll be working completely in an English environment, English-speaking environment, where I'll be working with a lot of people, presenters, producers. We all work basically in English. So obviously I'll be writing and speaking and communicating in English.
Not only is the NewsHour programme broadcast in English, but Anbarasan will also be working in an English-speaking office, writing in English and attending planning meetings like this one.
Set up is... We have Azerbaijan, the presidential elections, any results due later, Mark Almond.
In a studio. In Oxford.
The other thing is this Anglican church row.
In the workplace, operating completely in a second language can be difficult. I asked Anbarasan what he was most worried about.
First thing, I would like to improve on writing proposals, like project proposals, and also presenting an application form for attachments or for any jobs within the BBC. Because when you write a very good application, if you present your case quite well, that itself like makes the job very easier. So in this particular area, even though I write well in English, maybe I would like to know more about how precisely, how concisely I can explain about myself and what I have done so far in my career. And second thing would be this very cultural aspect where whether what I speak, the words I use in a normal day-to-day conversation with English people, whether that offends them or whether it is kind of not appropriate. So that's another area where I would like to work on, like in a day-to-day conversation, how I talk to people and how I communicate with people. And I also would like to work on my accent so that it makes easier for others to understand me. While I would like to retain my accent, at the same time, I would like to express very clearly and confidently.
You want to improve your writing skills as far as writing application forms and proposals, that kind of thing, to be able to write concisely. And as far as speaking is concerned, you want to improve your knowledge of kind of style, really, and tone of speaking to people and the appropriate nature of what you're saying, and also work on your accent.
Yeah.
Maybe those are your problems too. Time to consult expert teacher Karen Adams.
I think if we look at the writing problem first, one thing you need to bear in mind is that it's important to have a model for your writing. You need to see the kind of things you want to produce. What I would recommend Anbara-san to do is to speak with some friends who have written CVs and to ask if he can see them. This is what we do when we're native speakers. We always ask to see what other people have written, so we have an idea of the kind of things we need to write. This is very important because in different jobs, you write in different styles. Similarly, if he's writing proposals, then trying to find a model of a proposal that's been written in his area is important, so that he can notice how it's structured, if there are any particular words which he should use, how long he should make it, the order in which the information should come. As I say, this changes depending on your job or the area you work in. So looking for models is a very, very important thing to do.
So that will improve his knowledge of what to put into a proposal or an application form if he looks at what the kind of things that other people write.
Absolutely, yes. Now, Amberson's second problem was to do with day-to-day language or colloquial language, speaking with friends. What kind of language can you use? This is quite a difficult area for learners. Quite often, learners learn very formal or quite neutral language, and they want to be able to chat more easily with friends. Now, one of the things he should do if he's mixing with people whose first language is English, is to listen to some of the words that they use. However, you've got to be very careful because sometimes you can't quite work out how good the word you choose is in a particular situation. So, for example, you might choose a word which very few English speakers would use or which they may use but might sound a little bit rude. And this is a very, very sensitive area for learners. I usually recommend that you stick with neutral language and not try to use too many idioms or colloquial words unless you feel very, very confident that you're using them in exactly the right context. So, for example, many learners want to learn lots of idioms. But if you put idioms in with more formal speech, they can sound a bit silly. So, for example, we often hear the idiom, oh, it's raining cats and dogs. But actually, not many people in Britain say that. And so when you're using idioms, you can actually fall into a trap because you're not using the idiom properly. So stick with neutral language.
OK, so Amberson can listen to English people speaking colloquially to get some ideas of the way they speak, but he should be careful not to go too far down the colloquial route and use phrases or words he's not quite sure about the way they should be used.
Absolutely, yeah.
Advice there from teacher Karen Adams, which you can also try out to help you with your English. And what about Amberson? Vicky went back to ask him what he thought of Karen's suggestions.
Yeah, definitely it is quite useful in a way. And it is a very good idea to have a look at other proposals, and especially those proposals which have been selected by a committee, because it can give you a clear idea about how people have written the past.
So yes, it's very useful to take a model which has been successful in its purpose, either a CV which has helped someone get a job or a proposal which has been successful in its aim. And as far as Karen's advice about using colloquial language is concerned, what did you think about it?
Actually, that's very appropriate because what she has said is like, do not use idioms which are not in use in England. For example, in South Asia, people still use Victorian phrases. People do not use such idioms here. So you may sound very silly if you're going to use this kind of idiom in a regular conversation. Whereas once you start getting used to talking with the local people, and then you can really catch on, especially by listening to local radios and reading these tabloids and the newspapers here, then you can pick up some of these idioms and phrases.
Definitely, and then you realise which language is really appropriate and which is actually used in common usage in this country or in the area where you're living.
Yeah.
Generally, do you have any thoughts about how you want to continue to improve your language in the future?
It is basically by listening to radio and by watching television and also by reading newspapers. And the other way would be to talk to native English speakers, and especially if you want to improve on your accent and idioms and phrases. The only way you can do it by is by practicing. So by doing all these things, I think one can improve.
And that almost brings us to the end of today's English Makeover. But first, here's a quick summary of Karen's advice. If you have problems writing proposals or applications, look for models of the kind of things you need to write. Ask friends or colleagues if you can see their CVs or proposals and use these as your guide. Notice the structure, the length, and the style of language. Maybe you wonder whether you're using the right kind of language in informal situations. You can become a careful listener and copy the kind of language that friends or colleagues use. But if you're not sure whether the words are appropriate for the situation, it's safer to use neutral language. For example, I like that rather than that's cool. Try out Karen's advice and see if it works for you. Join the English Makeover team again next time for more advice to improve your English.